The FDA this week cleared COVID-19 vaccine booster shots for people 65 and older and certain other adults at high risk of severe illness, including those who work in healthcare, at grocery stores, or are teachers. We're now waiting for the CDC to weigh in. That could happen later this afternoon. Joining me now is Dr. Nada Fadl, Associate Professor of Infectious Diseases at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Dr. Fadl, good to see you. Do you expect the CDC to concur with the FDA when they release that announcement later today?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I do expect the CDC to concur with the FDA's recommendation. I think the FDA did a really good job analyzing the evidence that we have right now, weighing effectiveness and safety of the vaccine booster shots to those who are already vaccinated. And I think that the decision that they reached about recommending a booster for those who are over 65 and those who are at risk of severe disease, and those who have high-risk employment or high-risk living situations, is a very conscious decision, I would call it, because at this point, I think the priority is really to prevent severe disease and prevent the mortality that we're seeing from COVID-19. And by targeting these populations, we'll be able to achieve that, but also we'll be able to protect our precious healthcare workers, because right now the nation is experiencing a massive shortage of healthcare personnel. And allowing this precious workforce to be protected and be able to continue to work is going to be very important in us being able to combat this pandemic. So I really hope the CDC concurs with the recommendation, and we're all anxiously waiting that decision.
Now, of course, this is only the FDA has approved this for the Pfizer vaccine so far. They're saying that it should be given to those in those groups you just described 6 months after they had received their second dose. But what about mixing things? What if you got the Moderna vaccine or you got the J&J vaccine? Can you go and get a Pfizer booster?
So the recommendation as of now is no. It's not really recommended to mix the vaccines. When the booster was recommended initially for immunocompromised patients, the recommendation was for all mRNA vaccines. And at the time, most people who got Moderna or Pfizer vaccine were able to get a booster because both vaccines are available right now. I expect this is going to cause a lot of confusion, especially for those populations that got vaccinated early on. For us healthcare workers, for example, we got vaccinated back in January, same as nursing home residents, which is expected to be among this category, which is going to be eligible for booster. And many of us received the Moderna vaccine because both vaccines were available at the time. So now it's going to cause a lot of confusion because some people will be able to access the booster. Some of us will not be able to access it. So I'm really hoping that they expedite the decision about other vaccines, the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson's, to minimize this confusion for us at the front line. Johnson & Johnson is going to be a very different approach because with that vaccine, it's probably going to be looked at much more carefully because it's a different type of vaccine. But nonetheless, I think at least for the healthcare force that got vaccinated more than 6 months ago now, and those who are elderly and in congregate livings, we need to expedite that decision about the Moderna vaccine so we can make all mRNA vaccines available for them.
Doctor, I'd love your reaction to something we saw today coming from a Republican senator in Florida, Manny Diaz. He is actually calling for a review of all vaccine mandates, including polio, rubella, mumps. As a medical professional, you hear this. What's your reaction and what would your message be to Senator Diaz?
I think at this point, we know for sure, without any doubt, that vaccines benefit outweigh any risk that is out there. And we've known this for decades. We've known it for a long time, that vaccinating people will prevent disease, mortality, morbidity. And now in the midst of a pandemic, it's also going to prevent the world from succumbing to the effects of this pandemic. So I think at this point, we have a stronger position to advocate for vaccinating people against all diseases. And we need to take this opportunity and not let anti-vaxxers actually take the opportunity and advocate against vaccines and and deter people from getting the other vaccinations, which unfortunately is what's happening now. I think policy needs to be implemented to make sure we take this as an opportunity to prove to the world that vaccines are effective, they're safe, and their benefit outweighs any risk out there. By now, more than 1 billion people around the globe received COVID vaccination, some type of vaccine, and we're seeing very little side effects compared to the effects of COVID itself. For us, you know, in the medical field, and for the population in general, we forgot how bad these diseases are, how bad smallpox, how bad polio is, how bad measles is, because they've been eradicated for the largest part in many parts of the world, especially the developing countries. So that's why it's easy for people to go out there and advocate against vaccination, because they don't really have the memories of how bad these diseases can be if they start spreading in the community. And they're extremely contagious as well.
Right. Excellent. Excellent point you make. And I'm glad that you made it so eloquently. I do want to ask about something that's happening there in your backyard in Nebraska. The state has temporarily restarted its coronavirus dashboard. I know it had gone down 3 months ago, but this dashboard provides people with daily updates on things like new COVID cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Tell us why that dashboard is back and why it's needed.
Well, so there is no question that the dashboard is needed, because for the longest time, we didn't really know what's happening. I mean, the only way we could gauge transmission in the community is by hospitalization. And for the past few weeks, we were opening one COVID floor after the other, and hospitals were reaching their maximum capacity. So knowing what's happening in the community is extremely important to be able to target prevention efforts to the right places and the right areas and the right population. And Nebraska has been behind in this for the longest time. From the beginning of the pandemic, we were not able to access race data or ethnicity data or which populations had been impacted. And it took a lot of advocacy and work to push the state to get to that point. And then in July, the governor declared the state of emergency over, and they took down a very precious tool for us in infectious disease and those in public health in knowing where the efforts need to be directed to. I think we're a little behind now getting this dashboard, because we've seen in the past week numbers being stabilized, but it's really important to continue this tool and not prematurely take it away, because with COVID, we're always a month behind, because by the time you see transmission in the community increases, that means the effect is already a little too late. So we really need to be proactive in our approach. And the dashboard is such an important tool in our fight against this pandemic.
All right, Dr. Nada Fadel, University of Nebraska Medical Center, thanks so much for being with us today.